Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the book of Zechariah at this time. We have got to chapter 13. So let's jump right in here to the text. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him will say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in the day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, I'm going to need a little bit of help here from Matthew Henry. It's a very cryptic section here. I get the wounds in the hands seem to be a reference, a cryptic reference to the Messiah. In the time mentioned, at the close of the foregoing chapter, a fountain would be open to the rulers and people of the Jews in which to wash away their sins, even the atoning blood of Christ. Now, I got that part. United with his sanctifying grace. It has hitherto been closed to the unbelieving nation of Israel. But when the Spirit of grace shall humble and soften their hearts, he will open it to them also. This fountain open is the pierced side of Christ. We are all as an unclean thing. Behold, a fountain opened for us to wash in, and streams flowing to us from that fountain, the blood of Christ, and God's pardoning mercy in that blood, made known in the new covenant, are a fountain always flowing, that never can be emptied. It is open for all believers, who, as the spiritual seed of Christ, are the house of David, and as living members of the church, are inhabitants of Jerusalem. Christ, by the power of his grace, takes away the dominion of sin, even of beloved sins. Those who are washed in the fountain open, as they are justified, so they are sanctified. Souls are bought off from the world and the flesh, those two great idols, that they may cleave to God only. The thorough reformation, which will take place on the conversion of Israel to Christ, is here foretold. False prophets shall be convinced of their sin and folly, and return to their proper employments. When convinced that we are gone out of the way of duty, we must show the truth of our repentance by returning to it again. It is well to acknowledge those to be friends who, by severe discipline, are instrumental in bringing us to a site of error. For faithful are the wounds of a friend, and it is always well for us to recollect the wounds of our Savior. Often has he been wounded by professed friends, nay, even by his real disciples, when they act contrary to his word. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will return mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass, that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Here is a prophecy of the sufferings of Christ. God the Father gave the order to the sword of his justice to awake against his Son, when he freely made his soul an offering for sin. As God, he is called my fellow. Christ and the Father are one. He is the shepherd who was to lay down his life for the sheep. If a sacrifice, he must be slain, for without shedding of the life blood, there was no remission. This sword must awake against him, yet he had no sin of his own to answer for. It may refer to the whole of Christ's sufferings, especially his agonies in the garden and on the cross, when he endured unspeakable anguish till divine justice was fully satisfied. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. This passage our Lord Jesus declares was fulfilled when all his disciples in the night wherein he was betrayed forsook him and fled. It has and shall have its accomplishment in the destruction of the corrupt and hypocritical part of the professed church. Because of the sin of the Jews in rejecting and crucifying Christ and in opposing his gospel, the Romans would destroy the greater part, but a remnant would be saved, and if we are his people, we shall be refined as gold. He will be God, and the end of all our trials and suffering will be praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day in which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. The Lord Jesus often stood upon the Mount of Olives when on earth. He ascended from heaven thence. He ascended from thence to heaven, and then desolations and distress came upon the Jewish nation. Such is the view taken of this figuratively, but many consider it as a notice of events yet unfulfilled, and that it relates to the troubles of which we cannot now form a full idea. Every believer, being related to God as his God, may triumph in the expectation of Christ's coming in power, and speak of it with pleasure. During a long season, the state of the church would be deformed by sin. There would be a mixture of truth and error, of happiness and misery. Such is the experience of God's people, a mingled state of grace and corruption. But when the season is at its worst and most unpromising, the Lord will turn darkness into light. Deliverance comes when God's people have done looking for it. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Some consider the progress of the gospel beginning from Jerusalem is referred to by the living waters flowing from that city. Neither shall the gospel and means of grace, nor the graces of the Spirit wrought in the hearts of believers by those means ever fail, by reason either of the heat of persecution, or storms of temptation, or the blast of any other affliction. Tremendous judgments appear to be foretold, to be sent upon those who should oppose the settlement of the Jews in their own land. How far they are to be understood literally, events alone can determine. The furious rage and malice which had stir up men against each other are faint shadows of the enmity which reigns among those who have perished in their sins. Even the inferior creatures often suffer for the sin of man, and in his plagues, thus God will show his displeasure against sin. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that those whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. It is impossible for all nations literally to come to Jerusalem once a year to keep a feast. It is evident that a figurative meaning must here be applied. Gospel worship is represented by the keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every day of a Christian's life is a day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every Lord's Day is especially the great day of the feast. Therefore, every day let us worship the Lord of hosts, and keep every Lord's Day with peculiar solemnity. It is just for God to withhold the blessings of grace from those who do not attend the means of grace. It is a sin that is its own punishment. Those who forsake the duty forfeit the privilege of communion with God. A time of complete peace and purity of the church will arrive. Men will carry on their common affairs and their sacred services upon the same holy principles of faith, love, and obedience. Real holiness shall be more diffuse because there shall be a more plentiful pouring forth of the Spirit of holiness than ever before. There shall be holiness even in common things. Every action and every enjoyment of the believer should be so regulated according to the will of God that it may be directed to His glory. Our whole lives should be as one constant sacrifice or act of devotion. No selfish motive should prevail in any of our actions. But how far is the Christian church from this state of purity? Other times, however, are at hand, and the Lord will reform and enlarge His church, as He has promised. Yet in heaven alone will perfect holiness and happiness be found. And thus we end the book of Zechariah. And I see the harbingers here. I'm speaking of the Feasts of Tabernacles, and our good friend Henry doing a good job to apply that figuratively to the church. And I also believe that there is somewhat prophetic in this, because he ends up telling us, yet in heaven alone. Well, we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and also in the resurrection when we meet the Lord in the air, or the heavenlies, and so we shall ever be in that heavenly realm with Him. And in the age to come, when Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth, as foretold over and over again, even here in the book of Zechariah, that all of the other nations of the world will be done away with. And when I say nations, I don't mean the peoples. There would be people representative of all nations, but the governments of those nations, the principalities and powers, will all be done away with, because there shall be one King and one Lord, and that is Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, who will set up His kingdom. And when that day comes, He will reign from Jerusalem, and all the nations of the earth will worship Him. And I believe many of the words here will be applicable even during that period, that 1,000-year period or millennial reign of Christ. I believe that we will observe the Feast of Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, I can't understand why the church did not adopt many of the feasts and holy days of God, why they preferred heathen holy days over God's holy days. Why? What is wrong with the Feast of Tabernacles? What is wrong with separating yourself from your life, from the world, for an 8-day feast from one Sabbath to the next, and having that camping trip where everyone goes out and focuses on God and each other? It's like a family reunion. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a big camp out, where you leave the world and you leave all of your ambitions behind, and you take a week and go out into the wilderness. You know, you bring your Winnebago or your tent or whatever you have, and all of your camping implements with you, and you hang out with your family for a week, with God's people for a week in the wilderness. What a camping trip. And though that may be hard for people to implement today, because we're all living according not to God's calendar, but a Roman calendar. And so I believe that here Matthew Henry directs us for the time that we're in correctly when he says we must apply these things figuratively. But I love his words here. I love the words that it is a sin that is its own punishment. Those who forsake the duty forfeit the privilege of communion with God. It is just for God to withhold the blessings of grace from those who do not attend the means of grace. Well, that's the end of Zechariah. You've been listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. This entire study in two parts will be available at my website soon, if it's not already there. May the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom every day until He comes, or until we go to meet Him. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. there is absolutely nothing more important.